Okay, good evening, everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming. So tonight's discussion, we have some Sfardim in the audience, so they'll correct us if we're wrong. So tonight's topic, we're going to start a series about Pesach. Tonight's topic is kidneys. So it's interesting because there's actually a mitzvah to start talking about Pesach 30 days before, mm-hmm. and it actually starts on Purim, so we're a day late, but we're almost there. So 30 days before Pesach. Okay, let's first talk about kidneys. So kidneys, we were discussing what the etymology of the word is, but the kidneys really is an umbrella expression that refers to rice, millet, any of the grains, legumes, even potatoes. People questioned it should be included under the minhag of kidneys, but our minhag, obviously, of Ashkenazim is to eat potatoes. So what I would like to do tonight is trace the actual custom. Where did it come from? At what point in history did this custom evolve not to have kidneys for Ashkenazim, not to eat kidneys on Pesach? So let's first learn a Gemara together. The Gemara says in Meseches Psachim, Elu Dvarim. There's an English side and a Hebrew side. Everyone's welcome to follow either way. The Gemara says in Psachim on Lamed Hey Amin Aleph 35a, Eilu Dvarim Sha'adam Yotzi Bahen Idei Chayvasai BePesach. So the following, one can fulfill his obligation of matzah on Pesach. So it's interesting because there are two reasons why matzah has to be from the five grains. Number one, it has to be bread, right? So it's only considered bread if it's from the five grains. Number two, the fulfillment of matzah, which means that it was unleavened, matzah has to specifically be with something that could theoretically become chametz. So imagine if a person would make, a potato starch matzah. So besides the fact that it's not categorized as a bread, it could never come to chametz, so he would not fulfill his obligation. So these are the things that one can fulfill their obligation with Pesach. Chitim is wheat, se'orim is barley, kusmin is spelt, shifon is rye, and shibula shul is oats. These are the five grains. The Gemara says, the Gemara makes a diuk, the Gemara makes an inference. Hani in, only these grains that were enumerated, however, oirez and doichin lo. But oirez and doichin lo. So there's actually a question in the Rishonim, there's a Rashi and there's a Tosfos, what the translation of oirez and doichin is. The accepted translation is oirez is rice and doichin is millet. So these are in bracha. So there's actually a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So it's interesting that the Tosfos says oirez is rice, Rashi says oirez is millet. So there's actually, the Gemara says you make a mezonos on oirez. So there's a big machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, what the oirez is, right? So the Magen Avraham paskins not to make a mezonos on rice because it might be millet. I know the meaning of Chabad is to make an adama on rice, and that's because we don't know what the word oirez means. Exactly, the accepted translation of oirez is rice. It even sounds like the word oirez is like rice, and doichin is millet. So the inference is one cannot make matzah out of oirez and doichin. Let's, for argument's sake, translate it as rice and millet. So the Gemara makes a diuk. Masnisin the loik Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Gemara says that oirez, let's translate it loosely as rice, is a min dogen, is a kind of a grain, the chayovin al chimutzai karis. And if you allow the rice to become chametz, then if one eats it on Pesach, he would be chayav karis, because it is a grain, it's considered one of the grains. Now we know that the Torah only lists chitin and se'orin as one of the seven species. The chitin is the wheat and the se'orin is the barley. So the other types, the oats and the rye and the spelt, they fall under the categories of wheat and barley. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri must hold that oirez, rice, falls under one of, it's either in the family of wheat or it's in the family of barley. But he considers the rice and the millet to be a type of a grain. Desanya, because we have a brisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that it's aser ba'oyres. He says it's aser ba'oyres v'doichin, b'pnei shekarev lahachmitz, because the Gemara wonders what that means. One of the interpretations is that it even becomes chametz quicker than other grains do. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that oyres, rice, or millet, is in the grain family, and it can turn into chametz. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But our Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, is not like that, because the Stam Mishnah only allows matzah to be made out of the five grains that we know, the wheat, the barley, the spelt, the oat, and the rye. There's another Gemara, a similar Gemara. It's brought in Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. So on the Seder plate, we have two tafshilin, two cooked foods. So we customarily put a shank bone and an egg on the Seder plate. One corresponds, one symbolizes the Karban Pesach, and one symbolizes the Karban Chagiga. So the Gemara says, what two types of cooked foods can you use for your Seder plate? So basically, the Gemara says, you can use any kind of cooked food. So look what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Huna, silka, you can use cooked beets, va'aroiza, and you can use a cooked dish of rice. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Shmami no de Rav Huna, we see from Rav Huna that less the chayish lahod Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he's not at all concerned with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Not only does he permit a cooked rice dish, he even puts it on a Seder plate at the Seder Pesach night. So clearly, nobody holds Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We do not consider the rice to be from the grain family. And based on this Gemara, because the Gemara uses this strong expression, less the chayish, there's nobody who concerns themselves with this minority opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, says the Rush, one of the poskim in the back of the Gemara. Bezeloshoyne, quote, less hilchasak Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, we do not paskim like Rabbi Yochanan Minuri. Look what the Rush says. Mutter lasos mimenu tafshil bepesach. It's completely permitted. You're allowed to make a rice dish on Pesach. Nothing wrong. You're completely allowed to. And the Rambam says the same thing. So far we have the Gemara itself says that nobody is concerned with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and you're allowed to eat rice on Pesach. The Rush rules that way in practice, that you're allowed to have rice on Pesach. And the Rambam says the same thing. The Rambam
Is Ashkenazi.
He's an Ashkenazi. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, for sure, in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, quote, Ein Aser Mishum Chametz BePesach, the only things that are forbidden that could leaven, that they can rise on Pesach, is elechameshes minei dagen bovad, only the five grains. Only the five grains. Now, the Rambam says what we mentioned before. Vehem shnei minei chitim, there are two types of wheat, which is the wheat and the spelt. So spelt is in the wheat family. And there are three types of barley, which is the se'ira, what we call barley, and the oats and the rye. Oat and rye, the Gemara considers it to be in the family of the barley. It's also relevant to klayim, right? How you consider the five grains. But kitnios, now what are examples of kitnios? Kigon orez, rice, dochen, millet, pulin, beans, adoshim, lentils. They are not subject to the prohibition of chametz. Even says the Rambam, afilu losh kemach, even if you would make flour, you make rice flour, and you would knead it into a dough, anything similar to that, beroisin, in warm water. So that's like the Gemara says, warm water makes something rise even quicker. So you're doing all of the everything possible to make it chametz. V'kisohu bebegadim, and you close it, you cover it with a garment, right? So when my wife bakes challah, she takes the dough, she makes the dough, she covers it with a towel to allow it to rise. So you kneaded the rice flour with warm water. You put it in a bowl. You put a cloth on top. Until it starts to swell, it resembles a dough that became chametz. Nevertheless, rules the Rambam, it's permissible to eat because this is not chametz. It's not a leavening process that we're witnessing. It's a sirchon, it's a decomposing, it's a rotting. The reason why it's swelling and growing is because it's rotting. It's not an improvement, it's considered a sirchon. There's actually a Yerushalmi There's Yushalmi, which I didn't quote here. There's Yushalmi that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan were debating if the rice is considered chimutz or not, if it's a grain or not. So they actually went like into a laboratory, the Gemara describes, and they tested it. So it was rising, like the Rambam says it would. So the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri points to it and says, you see, rice is a grain and it's subject to chametz. But the Rabbanan said, no, that's a sirchon. That's where the Rambam gets this expression. It's a sirchon. It's a spoilage. It's a decomposing. It's not considered a regular rising. It's not the process of leavening. So you see from all of this, you see from the Gemara, you see from the Rosh and from the Rambam, that only the five grains are subject to chimutz. And according to the Gemara and according to the Rosh and the Rambam, the early commentaries, the early codifiers, it's completely permissible to eat rice and other kidneys, other grains, other things on Pesach. I can't bring a proof from the Cheerios, but on the Cheerios box, right, the multi-grain Cheerios, they say five grains in the Cheerios, and if you look in the ingredients, they count the rice and the corn as grain, as a whole grain. So we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like the Hilchos Cheerios. We paskin like the Gemara, like the Rambam and the Rosh, that kitnios, even rice, which is the most similar to a grain, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the rice is a grain. We paskin that it's not a grain, it's not subject to chametz. He says you chayv karis. Right. So we paskin, and the paskin we're going to emphasize this. We paskin you can even eat rice on Pesach me'ikra din, even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that it's mamish subject to karis, to chametz. Now the Shulchan Aruch, which is the minig of the Sfaradim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh and the Rambam that v'gam einun boyin l'dei chimutz, that the legumes and the rice and the millet are not subject to chametz. Umutir lasis mehem tafshil, like the Rosh and the Rambam say, you're permitted to make a dish to cook rice on Pesach and to eat it. Now the Ramah already quotes v'yesh oisrim, there are those who forbid it. And that's the minig of the Ashkenazim, like the Ramah. The haminug ba'ashkenaz, the minig in Ashkenaz is lahachmir, to be strict. The ein l'shanais, and you cannot change this minig. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, that you cannot change this minig for Ashkenazim, that we treat all kidneys, all rice and millet and legumes and beans, all under this type, certain types of nuts, all under the minig of kidneys.
So the Rama rely on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So how can he disagree with...
Yeah, so he's disagreeing with the Gemara, right? As Rav Asher is pointing out, so he's not disagreeing with the Gemara fundamentally, because nobody here is saying that the rice is subject to chametz. Yeah. He's saying it's a minhag to avoid it, lahachmir, to avoid eating it. Not because it's chametz,
so
but to minhag...
It's not kovei isu, it just says... That's good.
Hold on, so it is usher for an Ashkenaz to eat it, but it's not because it's chametz. It'll become clear. Okay. Now, the earliest source... So the Ramah was written in the 1700s. The earliest source for this minhag, let's call it a minhag, not to eat rice and millet and beans on Pesach, is from Rabbeinu Peretz, who was one of the Balei Tosfos on the side of the Gemara in the days of the Tosfos. This is about going back about 700 years ago, more than 700 years ago, in his notes on the Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanis, the Smak. Quote, this is a quote from Rabbeinu Peretz in his notes on the Sefer Smak, and this is the earliest known source for the prohibition for Bnei Ashkenaz to eat kitnios, to eat these rice and millet and beans on Pesach. V'al kitnios, says the Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the early Rishonim Balei Tosfos. The kitnios, Rabuseinu, our sages, noyigim b'hem iser, they conduct themselves with a prohibition. Shaloi lo'ichlam b'pesach klal, not to eat it on Pesach at all. Now look what he gives us a variation of the minig. So the minig is starting to evolve. But Rabbeinu Peretz says that he noted, this is before the Ramah, the Rabbeinu Peretz noted that his Rebbeim did not eat kitnios on Pesach. V'chein nireh, and he says, it also appears, k'medume sheshamati, he says, I think that I heard, ala poilin, regarding beans, sheloi levashel b'pesach ki'im b'mayim roischim, mitchilas nesinosin b'kedera. So it's very interesting that we would never do most of the things that the Gemara permits us to do, because we're not expert in this process, but the Gemara says that technically you can take grain. You can take wheat kernels or barley kernels, which are definitely subject to chametz, and if you put them into boiling water, it's a process called chalita, so you scald them right away. See, normally when you cook, you mix it with water and then you put it on the fire. Before it gets a chance to be cooked, it already became chametz. But if you put the grain into boiling water, the Gemara says, the water was already boiled before, it scalds it, and it kills whatever the bacteria is, whatever causes it to rise, and it's not subject to chametz anymore. So we don't do that nowadays because we're afraid that we're not experts. Maybe the water is not hot enough. Maybe the kernels of grain are stuck together and it's not all being exposed to the water. Whatever it is, we would never do this today. A lot of the halachas of kashrus that the Gemara permits, we wouldn't do today because we have it's easier for us to keep everything on a higher standard. So nevertheless, says the Rabbeinu Peretz, number one, there are those who forbid it altogether to eat rice and other beans. Number two, I heard that some people eat beans on Pesach, but they put the beans first into boiling water, right? Simulating as if it would be a grain, and even though we would never do this with a real grain, but they treat the bean as if it's a grain, and they put it into boiling water to prevent, quote-unquote, it becoming chametz, as if it will be subject to chametz, but really it's not. Now, the Gedolim, the great sages of our generation, Noegen Heter, they permit it. Umoiri, my own Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yechiel, would be noig lechel bePesach. He would eat on Pesach, pulalaban, beans. Vegam hayoimer kemeshem gedolim, and he also cited the sages that you're allowed to. So this is in the early stages of the minhag that there was a dispute. Some people didn't eat it at all. Some people scalded it the way you would in the times of the Gemara grain, and others eat it freely. Umevi raya, and he brings a raya. What's Rabbeinu Yechiel's raya? Now this is like such an elementary raya. What's the proof that you're allowed to eat kitnias on Pesach? Because the Gemara says so. Like you said, Rabbi Gidon, the Gemara says so that even rice, the chashuv le Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri min dagon, even rice, that there is an opinion in the Gemara that it's subject to real chametz. So there's an opinion in the Gemara that rice is really a grain and it's subject to chametz. Still, the Gemara says less the chashla. The Gemara says nobody's concerned with that. So says Rabbeinu Yechiel, that's the biggest proof that you're allowed to eat kitnias on Pesach, because the Gemara says even on the most the grain that most resembles rice or most resembles grain, which is the rice, even that nobody concerns themselves with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and you're allowed to eat rice on Pesach. Some people even put it on their seder plate. So certainly, there's no reason to asur the rice. However, says Rabbeinu Peretz, kasha hadavar ma'od lahatir, but it's very hard for us to permit something, davar shenoygen ba'olam iser, that the world already took it upon themselves in Isser from the times of the Chachamim HaKadmonim, the earlier sages. So Rabbeinu Peretz, who was over 700 years ago, is already saying that he heard of this minig evolving earlier than me, right? So this must be going out 800, 900 years ago. It's very hard to permit it. Even though the Gemara says it's mutter, it's very hard for us to permit it. What about Rabbeinu Yechiel's proof that the Gemara says that rice is not subject to chametz? So says the Rabbeinu Peretz, of course the minhag understands that rice is not subject to real chametz, right? This is what you were saying, Reb Gidla. Of course we understand that it's not subject to real chametz. The mistaman loy noyeg aboy isser machmas chimetz atzmo, nobody's making a mistake and saying that you can't eat rice thinking that it really is subject to chametz. The lo ta'o bedavre shetinoike shopeis rabon, these great sages would not make a mistake about something that even a kid learning in school knows, right? Shalomdu halachas yoidin, anybody who learns these halachas will immediately realize that rice is not subject to chametz. Ella, so now what I want to do now is I want to collect now the data that there are three reasons for the prohibition of kitnias. This is the reason stated by Rabbeinu Peretz. It's a gzeira, it's a decree, it's a precautionary decree. The kivun, the kitnias maisik derehu, because you can make sort of like a lentil soup, you can make sort of like an oatmeal, you can make a maisik dera, you can make a dish out of lentils and out of rice, bedoga nami maisik derehu, and you can also make a dish like an oatmeal or a farina out of the grains, kedaisa, daisa was the Gemara's name for like an oatmeal or a farina. If we would allow people to make kitnias, to make dishes out of rice and legumes, people might make the mistake and they might come to permit even making an oatmeal or a farina out of the real grains. So says Rabbein Peretz, it looks at it, it's used similar. We use it the same way, and therefore it's a gzera. It's a decree.
Gzera from where?
It's a gzera from the times of the later sages, after the Gemara.
But they can do gzera.
That's a good question. So I saw people ask that question. How can we do gzeras? So the Gemara, the Rishonim bring proofs that we could make a gzera after the Gemara if we see people are making the mistake. So the example they bring, interestingly enough, the laws of nida. Because technically, if a woman has a baby, so for the next four, so the first week or 2 weeks, whether it's a boy or a girl, she's a nida. She's like a nida. But then for the next 33 days or the next 66 days, right? Technically, even if she sees a flow, she's permitted to her husband. But even the Rambam says that the minhag flipped in his day, and he cites different countries who started to be strict about it. And in Shulchan Aruch nowadays, we say that we're strict, and the man and the woman are not allowed to be together, even if she's seeing blood during her yemei tohar, during the days that she's tar. So the Achronim bring a raya from there that even after the Gemara was concluded, we can make a gzera or we can institute a minhag if there's a reason for mistake. So they cite that as an example here, that this became a later takana, not to eat kidneys for Ashkenazim, because it's olul, it's common to make a mistake. Why is it common to make a mistake? Because it's treated the same way, we treat rice the same way, we make an oatmeal, we cook it the same way. Kiven di idiv idi maisik day, we make a dish out of both. The gam, and furthermore, midi the midgin hu. Midi the midkin means that it's something that's processed the same way. It's midgin. It becomes a gemar melacha. It's processed the same way. K'moy chameshes, Rabbi Shalom. K'moy chameshes minei dot minim, chameshes minim. Now, there are some places where they can even make bread out of rice, like the chameshes minim. And therefore, it's asi lachlufe, therefore it's very common to make a mistake. And because of that, says the Rabbeinu Peretz, it's a minig hagenhu lizoyer mikol kitnias ketipirashti, like we said. I just want to point out that in the wording of Rabbeinu Peretz, I saw that the Achronim, they have a discussion. What's the nature of the minig? Is it a gzera, like he starts off saying, or is it a minhag, like he concludes saying? So I saw people discuss, is it a minhag or is it a gzera? So let's leave it at that. So now, the Rabbeinu Peretz says that the reason for the prohibition for Ashkenazim of kitnios is because it's used and it's processed the same way as grain. We use it as a maisik adera to make a dish out of it, and it's processed the same way. It's midgin. It's processed in a granary, the same way the five grains are processed, so people will confuse it with the five grains. That is Rabbeinu Peretz. The Trumas Hadeshin, who is also a very early commentary, after the times of the Rush, the Trumas Hadeshin in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel gives another time for this early minhag. He says, because sometimes, this might be a more familiar reason that people hear, because very often there are grains that are mixed into the kidneys. So very, like you find sometimes on the package, if people are allergic to grain, right, there might be traces of grain in the rice, right? So it was very common, if the fields are close together or it grows similar, the seeds get mixed up. So very often in a rice patch, you could have grain growing over there. That's the second reason that the Trumas Hadeshin brings.
In the field, or it's, like when they're selling it in the market?
So it sounds like even if you harvested it yourself in the rice, it's possible for there to be grains in there. Somehow the seeds get confused from the very beginning, and it's possible to have grain mixed into the rice. Now we're going to soon see from here that even if you're allowed to eat kidneys, it's important to know the reasons of the minig. We're going to soon see in a little while. That, so we have so far the Rabbeinu Peretz. It's processed and it's used the same way as grain. We have the Trumas Hadeshin, because very often it's common for grain to be mixed in. You know, it's similar when they say there's an infestation of bugs in a certain vegetable. So it's a miyud hamatzi. It's common for grain to be mixed in. And finally, Rabbeinu Manoach al Rambam. The Rambam says it's permitted, but the Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the commentaries, the early commentaries on the Rambam, notes that the custom is to forbid the grain for the Ashkenazim. And he also says the reason is because there's a type of chitim. Sometimes wheat itself, when there's a bad year, when the crops don't grow properly, it's mishtana v'nishtana. Sometimes the kernels of wheat resemble rice. They resemble other kinds of legumes, and therefore they forbade all types of legumes or beans or seeds because sometimes grain, wheat, sometimes will resemble these kinds of legumes. So we have three reasons for the custom. Reason number one, because chitinous is treated, it's used and processed similar to grain, so there's a confusion. Number two, because sometimes grain, real grain, is mixed in with the rice, and if you would cook the rice, you might be inadvertently cooking real grain. And the third reason is because sometimes real grain, if it doesn't grow properly, it could actually resemble the seeds, it could resemble rice, and therefore they made a decree to avoid anything that could possibly resemble rice. Now, as we mentioned before, not everyone agrees, even from the Ashkenazim, not everybody agrees to this minug. So the Rush, we paskin before, said it was mutter, right? He didn't even make a dispute about it. The Tur, which is a famous halacha sefer, the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, who was the son of the Rush, cites the minug. The Torah says in Tafnun Gimel, this is in Hilchos Pesach, Simen the 453, he brings the minug, Yesh oisrim lechel oiris v'chol mini kitnias betavshil, there are those who forbid eating rice and other types of beans in a dish, in a cooked dish, and the Torah says the meaning, the reason, the fishamine chitim is arvin behen, the Torah brings the reason of the Trumas Hadeshin, the second reason, because it's common for grain to be mixed into the rice, but look what the Torah says. Chumra yaseira, it's an excessive chumra, but lo nagu kein, and the Torah insists that that's not the minhag, that's not the minhag for us, right? So you're allowed to eat rice, go ahead. Even the Torah, who's from the Ashkenazim, who is the son of the Rush, he says it's an excessive chumra, it's an excessive stringency to be concerned that maybe there's wheat mixed into the rice, and therefore he would permit it. So far we have...
The Rush permitted it, though.
The Rush didn't even bring a disputant, right? The Rambam says it's permitted, the Rush says it's permitted, the Torah already brought the minhag, but he rejected it because it's a chumri yaseira, it's an excessive minhag. However, we have Rabbeinu Peretz, who brings it in, right? And he says that even in his time, his Rebbe himself was like the Rush, did not have this minhag. He did eat rice. He brings other people, ate the beans. They just cooked them up first. They put them into boiling water first. And then he brings that other people say it's forbidden. And he says it's hard to permit something which we have a custom that it's forbidden. And his reason was because it's treated and processed like grain. Now,
since the Rosh moved to Sfarad when he was very young, he was a mushpa from the Sfarad.
So I like to look at it that the early Rishonim, they were their level of concentration, like they were like perfect, right? So whatever they say, they're saying that's completely objectively, right? That's how I like to look at it. That's my misar from yeshiva, like a machine, like a computer. It's completely objective. So the Rush's opinion is that it's mutter. Why you don't have to look so far to know why it's mutter, because the Gemara says it's mutter, right? The Tur, he mentions the origins of this minhag, but he rejects it out of hand. It's a chumri yaseira. It's only the Rabbeinu Peretz who notes that the custom is to observe this, and then we have three reasons why. Now the Chacham Tzvi, who was also an Ashkenazi, the Chacham Tzvi was a tremendous gadol. He was the father of Rav Yaakov Emden. So this is what, the 1700s, the father in the days of Rav Yonis and Eibschitz and Rav Yaakov Emden. So the father of Rav Yaakov Emden, the great Chacham Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, he writes the following like this. This is brought by his son in the Mor Ukitzia, which is a sefer written by Rav Yaakov Emden. See, he says like this. He used to complain that Rav Yaakov Emden, he quotes his father, the whole Pesach his father would lament, right? The Chacham Tzvi would lament over this minhag. And look at the Chacham Tzvi writes in Zion. Yasher cheli, if it would be within my power, avatline lemine gerua halaz, I would nullify this terrible minhag. Shehi chumra de'asile de'kula. Because what's the purpose of this minhag? So we cited three reasons, right? Either because it's processed like grain, or because there might be grain mixed in, or the third reason was because sometimes wheat resembles the rice. So the purpose of this minhag was to prevent people from eating chametz on Pesach. But he says, this is a terrible minhag, because this is a chumra, it's a stringency that ultimately leads to a leniency. The nafik minei chorba, and it's a destructive custom. Umichshol v'isur chametz gomer. Look what he says. It sounds very familiar. He says, because minei kitnias are not common to eat, you're telling me I can't eat rice, which is relatively inexpensive. You're telling me I can't eat rice and beans on Pesach, so you're going to have to bake a lot of matzah. Especially poor people who don't have money to buy meat or other food, and people that have a large families, you're telling me that they can't rely on the staple of rice and beans. So they're not going to have anything to eat. What are they going to have to do? They're going to have to bake a lot of matzah. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is one of two things. Either amateurs are going to start baking matzah. See, he says they're not careful with the dough. You have to be a professional. You have to be an expert to bake matzah. They're not going to be careful with the dough. They're going to make the dough too big and unmanageable, and they're not going to be able to work the dough properly, and it's going to turn into chametz, or they're going to end up delaying in the process because they're unfamiliar with the process, and it will turn into chametz. And it's very close that they'll be nichshol in the isur karas rachmanu litzlan. The Hashem should help us. You're trying to prevent people from eating. Look what's happening. Look at the consequence. The consequence is that people are going to be take it into their own hands to bake matzah. And also the matzah is oimit b'yoyker. The matzah is expensive. Sounds familiar.
Make the same timer with the svarnish matzahs. How do they make them?
Yeah, I saw that one time.
It's not rakika, you know.
It looks like a.
I don't know how they do it.
Like a pita, like a pita bread. I saw it. It looks like a pita bread. So he says, number one, people are either people will bake it themselves, or they're going to have to shell out money to buy matzah. It's very expensive, and people can't afford all that matzah. So what are they going to do? They are not going to eat. So you're preventing people from enjoying Yom Tov. So says the Chacham Tzvi, Ashrei sheyoyches tzadik darko. If only some tzadik would get up and pave the way. Yitein oichel lamachbir, and give food plenty for everybody. And he uses an expression of like the pasuk, v'nofatz es alulei hachumres hazores el asela, and smash this bizarre minig right against the stones. Right, that's the Chacham Tzvi. He spoke very strong words against this minig. So after everything said and done, the Chsam Sofer says in the Kshuva Kuf Chof Beis that after considering all the different arguments, right, so the Rosh says permitted, the Rambam says permitted, Shulchan Aruch says permitted, the Rabbeinu Peretz who cites this minig, but he himself acknowledges that there are those who permit it. And some people say you can boil it up first and that's okay. But the Rabbeinu Peretz was the first one to say that we have to be machmir, because in his day people were being machmir. We have three reasons for the minig. The Chacham Tzvi is very against the minig. Says the Chsam Sofer, after everything is said and done, it's binding. Like the Ramah says. The Ramah says, Ein l'shanas, you can't change. Now it's very interesting because the Chsam Sofer, there's a whole long shuba there. I went through it. He analyzes it from very different angles. Is there any way out of this minig for an Ashkenaz? So on the one hand, somebody could argue, the Gemara says, it wasn't nispashit b'roiv Yisrael. It was not accepted widely by the entire Jewish people because it only is to the Ashkenazim. The Sephardim eat rice. So maybe the minig is not binding because it wasn't nispashit. To that, the Chsam Sofer says, it is considered nispashit. Why? Because it was only meant for the Ashkenazim, right? Rabbeinu Per, it was something that the Rabbanim in Ashkenaz, in Germany, and the Rabbanim for Ashkenazim, they're the one to establish this takana for their flock, for their tzibur. So it is considered nispashit because it was accepted by their people. That's number one. Number two, you can't be mavapla because there's no greater bezdin, and you can't make hataras nedarim, right? So maybe somebody could be matir neder. No, because it's considered to be a kabbalah klali, or more than that, it's considered to be a takana or a gzera. That's why it's important really to narrow down. Is it a gzera? Is it a minhag? So says the Chsam Sofer, either it's considered a Kabbalah klali, it's considered a group Kabbalah which you can't annul, or it's considered a takana, a gzera, and therefore it's not annullable. And there's no heter for this minhag.
Can you convert?
What? Can you what?
Convert.
This is for Ashkenazi. Oh, very good, very good. I'm going to talk about that. Now,
when Mashiach comes, we still have to hope for that, right?
Oh, yeah, we have to hope for that. Now, what, there are leniencies, because it's a minig, because it's only a Durabanan, there are leniencies in this Takanas. Now, there are very interesting leniencies. The Chumas Adeshin writes, the Chumas Adeshin was the second reason we brought before, because there's grain mixed in. The Chumas Adeshin says, and the Ramah cites it as well, that number one, you're allowed to own kidneys. It's not like real chametz because it's not subject to chametz. If the gedr would be, if the pshat is we're treating it as chametz, you wouldn't be allowed to own it and you wouldn't be allowed to benefit from it. We're not treating it as chametz, right? We recognize that it's not chametz. It's a gzera. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, you're allowed to own it and you're allowed to have benefit from it. Like what would be a benefit? A benefit would be you can use oil from kidneys, you can use corn oil or something for your candles if it's flammable, or peanut oil for. So I'm not talking about eating, I'm talking about, let's say, for benefit. benefit, right? That's number one. You can own it and you can benefit. Also, and he cites the reason, since Rabbeinu Yechiel, we cited him before, since he eats it, how can we be so strict and not even allow one to own it or to benefit from it? It can't be so disparate, right? The gap can't be so great between us and the ones who permit it. If they eat it, we can for sure own it and benefit from it. And the rationale is, we only accepted this custom regarding eating because eating is where the kares is. That's the gzera. So owning something will never bring you to kares, or benefiting from it will never bring you to kares. It's only the eating. So the whole takana or minig or gzera was only vis-a-vis eating. That's number one. The Mishnah Berurah brings, if for whatever reason kidneys falls into your food, it does not forbid it with a mashahu. It's not the slightest amount doesn't forbid it. And even the Mishnah Berurah writes, you don't even need samach. Right? So you don't even need 60 times, right? It's batel barov, and they say it's not even really a bittel. It's just don't eat it when it's alone. But if it mixes in, there are those who even permit one against one, like even one to one, and not even a row. That's not our minig. Our minig is that you have to have at least a simple majority. You don't have to have 60 times. But all you need is a row.
Accidental.
But if I'm not mistaken, the Ramah says if you fell into a tafshi,
you're allowed to eat it.
You're allowed to.
That's
eat
correct.
It.
Yeah. That's correct. Battle. It's battle. As long as you have a simple majority. You don't even need.
Oh, it's battle because of what?
Yeah, you don't even need. But you don't need 60 times. You don't need 60. Right.
But why, if it's not Israel Katkhila, why I need to have bitul?
Because otherwise, if you don't have a rove, it's considered like you're eating it intact, right? That's like eating it outright. So you have to at least have a majority that we can say you're not eating the minority. You're eating the majority.
No, I understand, but here, like at Hila, all the
poskim
that you brought, they're all hold that it's not Issu.
So the Ramah, right? That's why you don't need 60. That's why you don't need 60, right? But we want you to have a majority because we want to treat it as if you're eating the non-kidneyous, not the kidneyous. Mishnah Berurah says that Bishas HaTzchak, so he's talking about a case where food is not available. So he's really addressing the taina of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi says food's not available. So the Mishnah Berurah says if you're really living in a time of famine or a Shas HaTzchak where food is literally not available, then there will be a room to permit kidneyous. And it's somebody who's sick. Let's say somebody who's sick and for some reason has to eat a kidneyous diet, so he would be allowed to eat kidneyous. Now, this is why it's important, the three reasons that we brought before. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says together with the Chasam Sofer. So now, it's mutter to be mevashel, all the minim, except for the five grains, because that's real chametz. Now look what the poskim say. We're talking about a person who has to eat kidneyous for some reason, either because food's not available or because of an illness. You should use beans before rice and millet. Why? Because rice and millet are more similar to the five grains than beans are. So which reason does this remind us of? This reminds us of the reason of Rabbeinu Manoach. Well, it reminds me of the reason of Rabbeinu Manoach. You're right also, Rabbi Asher. It reminds me of the reason of Rabbeinu Manoach that sometimes the wheat resembles the rice. So says the Mishnah Berurah, in the choice of priority, if you have to eat kidneys, pick beans, don't pick rice, because at least you'll have the reason of the third reason of Rabbeinu Manoach. That's number one. V'shayi b'hu tfei l'migzer. Number two, you have to make sure that you check to make sure there's no grain mixed in. Which reason is that? That was the reason of the Trumas Hadeshin. In other words, even if we have to permit the kidneyous, we have to try to navigate, you know, the obstacle course and try to minimize and try to fulfill the spirit of the law as much as we can to avoid all the pitfalls. One of the pitfalls was because wheat can resemble the rice. Another pitfall was there might be grain mixed in. And then the third reason, the Chasam Sofer says, we encourage you to put it into boiling water, and then at least you're fulfilling what the Rabbeinu Peretz brought as an early minig, to put it into boiling water, like Rabbeinu Peretz brought before. Now, I saw it brought that let's say you have somebody who's a Sfardi who decided for whatever reason to accept this minig upon himself. Right? Maybe it resonates with him, he agrees with it, so he accepts it upon himself. So, who?
The Moroccan.
Yeah, they have. So it's very interesting. So they are allowed to be Matir Neder, say the Poiskim. Why? Because the reasons why you can't be Matir Neder, says the Chasam Sofer, is because it was the Spashit. It's a Takana, it's a rule. It's not a Neder, it's not a vow. It's not a personal vow, it's a rule that was the Spashit. It was spread widespread among the Ashkenazim. So if a Svaradi accepts it upon himself, for him it's a personal resolution. So he could really be Matir Neder. He can release him, he can annul his vow if he wants. wants to. That's point number one. And point number two, like you said, Rabbi Gidon, the Chazan Ovadia, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef writes that if an Ashkenazic woman marries a Svardi man, so she's allowed to be Mavapal Aminik. So they struggle with this. They struggle. What's the reason? What's the reason? Why is she not bound by the Takana? So we're forced to say that the Takana was only made for people that are going to remain Ashkenazi. But if they marry, a woman is allowed to take on the minig of the husband, so she's allowed to marry a Sfardi and take on the minig. However, the Avadia Yosef, he recommends she should be Matir Neder. So it's very interesting, the mechanics here.
But how can she be Matir Neder?
Oh, so the mechanism seems to be, right, the mechanism seems to be, because we said before, you can't be Matir Neder. The mechanism seems to be that the Takana was only made for Ashkenazim. If you're marrying and you're allowed to take on the minig of your husband, so it gets reduced from the Takana to a personal conduct. Mm-hmm. So since it gets reduced to it, because at the end of the day she was conducting herself that way, so now she's like a Sephardi who accepted the minig. She's no longer subject to the Takana, but she was at the end of the day conducting herself that way. So says Rav Avadia Yosef, he recommends that she should at least be Matir Neder, just in case it has at least the force of a vow. So she should be Matir Neder. Okay, Yashikre.
I heard the diamond has to be double size though.
No.